On Sunday afternoons, we've been taking a look. We started considering about this word predestination, and we took a look at the word ordain related to that, and about what the Scripture says about what the Lord has ordained, how it is that men of this world, you know, kings and judges and such, they ordain things. We know about the predestinating work of our Lord. We've studied about that, and got on the trail of that word ordain from some final scriptures that we looked at where that word is used as a synonym for predestination. We also, now at this time we're going on to this word determine. Determine in the scriptures, or forms of the word determine, and seeing what the scripture says about that. And as it is in the scripture, we see this. If you remember how it was with Amnon, half-sister of Tamar. These are David's children. He desired to have Tamar for himself, and Tamar is the sister of Absalom, and Amnon, by wicked counsel of one of his friends, set it up to where Tamar could come and take care of Amnon during a feigned sickness, and she took care of him, and then he took and forced his own half sister and humbled her, and it was just a wicked, wicked thing. David didn't do anything about it, and he should have. This was part of what was brought on in David's house, I believe, by his sin with Bathsheba. And Absalom, Tamar's brother, it says in 2 Samuel 13:32, and Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons," because Absalom essentially threw a party, so to speak, and invited all of his siblings, half-siblings, to it. "And for Amnon only is dead, for by the appointment of Absalom, this thing hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar." So Absalom avenges what Amnon did to his sister. And, of course, it was thought at that time that maybe Absalom would have turned on all of his siblings, but he didn't. He only killed Amnon because of what he had done. So wicked men determined to do things. And the reason I say that and we put this under that heading is because David was the government in that day, and the word of the Lord was clear about what should have been done to his son and what he did to his own daughter. But David didn't do so, and this thing seethed and boiled up, and Absalom resorted to that. Of course, Absalom goes on to do some other wicked things. We go, and so we see that wicked men determine to do things. If we take a look over here in Exodus chapter 21, verse number 22, the scripture says, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, or she would miscarry because of this rough handling or this being mixed in with this fight amongst men, yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine." Okay, so there's law that's given about two men fighting, a woman with child gets hurt, and she miscarries, but there's, you know, there's nothing else that's part of it. The men that are responsible for this are going to be punished according to what the husband would say and what the judges determine. So judges determine a thing in this earth also. And we look at these considerations to understand about the use of the word in the scripture. David's on the run from Saul. Saul's wants to have him around, and Saul doesn't want him around. Saul wants him around, then doesn't want him around. And in 1 Samuel chapter 20, David is dealing with Jonathan here, and it says there in verse number 7, "If he say thus," Saul, at this particular time, it's been called for all those that belong at the king's table to be there at a certain feast. It is well, thy servant shall have peace, but if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. So Saul did determine to do evil. It says in verse number 9, and Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee? And so Jonathan says, if I knew it, I would tell you, because Jonathan and David were close friends. And so evil judges and kings even determined to do wicked things. In 2 Samuel chapter 25, verse number 17, the scripture says, now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. I think this is speaking of Nabal. He's just a wicked man, and just a bad situation there. Also in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and I know I'm going fast, but this is just to give understanding again of the use of the word. It says there in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse number 1, and Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord, and a house for his kingdom. That was a good thing to determine to do, wasn't it? The purpose to do it. He was king, and his father had wanted to build a house, but the Lord told him no. David gathered the material and was instrumental in the plan of it and the order of it and such. But because of David's being a bloody man, as the Lord said, it was given to Solomon to do so. And Solomon determined, he took up that task to build a house unto the Lord. Haman is there seeking to do wickedness unto the Jews. Esther is there as king in Esther chapter 7, verse number 7. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Okay? Haman's plan was falling apart, and Esther was revealing that, and he saw that the king was going to do him harm, and what the king determined to do would come to pass. We see here in Acts chapter 3, I find this interesting, is Brother Peter is preaching, and the brethren there, they're near the day of Pentecost and just that day subsequent. This is mentioned in Acts 3:13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I find no reason of death in him, and was pretty much set to do so. But ultimately, we know Pilate gave in to public opinion and the cry of the Jews, his blood be upon us. And Pilate washed himself. He thought of the matter, and the Lord was crucified. There in Acts chapter 19, what city is that? Let me catch up and get back to what city this is. There's an uproar. They don't like the preaching of Paul and those that are there amongst his troop in Acts chapter 19. And Ephesus, it's in Ephesus, there in Asia Minor. And there's an unlawful assembly that's assembled against the brethren, and they do some things. They beat a man. They're all tore up about the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and how they're craft of making silver shrines to Diana is in jeopardy. They're all tore up about that. The magistrate there says in verse number 39, but if you inquire anything concerning other matters, okay, if you've got something that's a real fault to bring against these men, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly, not this unlawful assembly that is at hand, and they were riotous in their And there in the theater, it says in verse number 34, for 2 hours they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And this magistrate says, we're going to get called on the, we could get called on the carpet for this. It's to the judges. It shall be determined in a lawful assembly. So judges, kings determined to do things. Paul has been accused of a thing in Jerusalem, taken to Caesarea, been there for some time. And appears before Festus and Agrippa. And it says in Acts chapter 25, verse number 25, "But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus," that is Caesar, I have determined to send him." So he appealed, and I'm going to do what's necessary to send him on to Caesar. And of course, he was wanting to consult with Agrippa about what the right concerning Paul. To him, the matter seemed trivial as it was. And then in Acts chapter 27, we see here in the journeys of the Apostle Paul, he recounts, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy," okay, Luke writes, this is where Paul has been taken from Caesarea and is ultimately going to be taken to Rome. And, of course, they have problems along the way in that. "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band." And so that was the transfer from those in authority at Caesarea to this centurion that would take him on. So judges, kings, men of authority, they had determined things to do by their authority, some righteous, some wicked, but they purposed to do things. They determined to do things. They choose to. Then we see also, as we've seen in other accounts, that churches determine things, okay? And this, we found this namely in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11. Here, some churches in Judea are suffering because of a famine at hand, and the disciples of other churches determined to send relief, okay? And I believe the Apostle Paul and Barnabas are even used to carry some of this. In Acts 11:29, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." You know, Olmsted Baptist Church determines to do things. We purpose to do things. We have a set schedule of services. We have special services that we have. We have ministries that we purpose to pursue. Churches determined to do things, and brothers and sisters in Christ determined to do things in the churches. I know this may seem academic, but we want to see this use of the word that we might, as we go and take a look about God, what he determines. That's what we want to understand, is what the Lord determines that he does. And in Acts chapter 15, there's some history and those Judaizers that say that circumcision is necessary for salvation. In Acts chapter 15, verse number 2, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them there in Antioch, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and other of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." So that church determined, we need this answered, so we'll send these brethren down to the apostles in Jerusalem, which is appropriate for them to do in that day, and we'll get the answer about this. And of course, we know that circumcision is not necessary for salvation. There's no works of men's hands, no works that we can do to gain salvation of the soul. But as our brother brought out this morning in the Sunday school lesson, works are going to be an evident token of the salvation of one's soul. So it's going to be everything in its right place. In Acts 15:37, there's this dissension between John Mark. John Mark, on the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas, he had left them. He got scared and left them on their journey. And so then in Acts 15, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. He went with them, and then he leaves them. And then they have a dispute about that. But Barnabas, he wanted to take John Mark with them, his nephew, as we understand. And then in Acts chapter 20, verse number 16, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." So he's been up there ministering in Macedonia and Greece, and looking to get back down to Jerusalem before the day of Pentecost. And so he purposed to do that and did everything that he could to accomplish it. And then at Corinthians in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 2, the apostle rehearses with them about what he purposed and what he was convicted of the Lord to do when he ministered among them. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's all I preached. All I preached was the gospel. The Lord told him that he had many people in that city and that no man would touch him. No man would lay hands upon him and that he would preach and that many souls were saved as the Lord had promised. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1, he wrote, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness." The church of Corinth has got some problems. The apostle has written to them in this first and second epistle about dealing with them. And I think what he's getting at here is that I'm just getting this off my chest, so to speak. You need to take this, receive this, because when I'm coming back, I'm not going to come back sad sack and down and depressed because of your disobedience and your poor behavior. I want to come back rejoicing and seeing your obedience and your correction of these things that are at hand. And then in Titus chapter 3, verse number 12, "When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." And so the apostle had determined to winter in this place, and he writes to Titus to come to him at that time. So men determine things, judges, kings, wicked men, they determine things. But now what we're really after here is what God has determined. Okay, what God has determined. We've seen about what the Scripture says about what He's predestined, what He's ordained, and now we want to see about what He determines. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, let's take a look over here, and we're going to find this theme in the Scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We read here in verse number 16, "And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's? Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened to my counsel." Amaziah is king of Judah, and he comes from the slaughter of the Edomites in verse number 14, and brings the gods of the children of Seir, set them up to be his gods. In verse 15, the Lord, or the Lord was filled against him, and he sent this prophet to him. And so, because of his wickedness, God has determined to destroy him. He hadn't been faithful to the Lord that gave him the victory. He's been wicked against God. And the Lord sends a prophet to him. He even threatens the prophet. But the prophet tells him the truth that God has determined to destroy him. God can determine, because of our wickedness, to destroy us. And we need to know that. We are his children. And whether Amaziah was saved or not, his testimony is there in the Scriptures. And as the brother mentioned this morning, we only judge by fruit. We're not the ultimate judge. The Lord is. But understand, the Lord determines to destroy some. In Isaiah chapter 10, we see a handful of references here. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah, a prophet to Judah, and he's there in the at the time of the end of Israel, and there's a woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, it says in verse number 1, and right grievousness which they have prescribed. Goes on to say in verse number 23, that for the wickedness and evil at hand, for the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of all the land. Not only, you know, why is the Middle East why is the Middle East terrain wise and climate wise and desert. Why is Palestine in that shape? Because of what the Lord promised. Remember, that used to be a land that flowed with milk and honey. But the Lord determined to consume it, even in the midst of the land. And He's done it. Now, if they go over there in Israel and they irrigate, it grows some of the most beautiful plants and vegetables and fruit that you've ever seen. But it takes work. And it used to do that just naturally. But because of sin of Israel, the Lord determined that blasting and mildew and famine to be in the land. In Isaiah 19, take a look at this word determined. See about what the Lord determines. He can determine to curse a land. It says in the new and the millennial reign that if Egypt, for example, doesn't come up to worship and give honor and glory to the Lord annually at the Feast of Tabernacles, they'll receive no rain. And He can do that now, and He will do that then. In Isaiah 19, verse number 17, the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which He hath determined against it. When the Lord chooses to take His nation and use them against another nation, it's done. There's no change in it. The Lord works and He judges nations by other nations. And here the Lord tells about how it will be that there'll be a turning of things. It used to be that Egypt was a terror to Israel. And there's been some of that even in more recent decades. But there'll be a time that that'll be turned once again by the determinate counsel of the Lord. In Isaiah 28, verse number 22. The Scripture says, "Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I've heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth." And some time ago we saw about the judgment of the Lord upon this earth. In the last days, before the millennial reign of the Lord, there's going to be great destruction that's going to come upon the earth. God's determined it, and there's no change in it. What He determines will hold fast. In the book of Daniel, speaking of Israel, in chapter 9, verse 24, the Scripture says, and the Lord declares, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon Israel, the nation, and upon thy holy city, that is Jerusalem, Zion, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. It's been determined. 70 weeks. 69 of them, we understand, have been fulfilled. We're waiting for that 70th week to be meted out. And there the Lord will deal with His nation and His people. It's determined. There's no change in it. It's been determined of God. The same chapter goes on in verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, the crucifixion of our Lord. But not for Himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. They're determined. There's no changing those points. God has determined and ordained points all through the existence of mankind, and there's not a thing that can change those. Not a thing. It's His working, and it's His great plan. And He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, speaking of the Antichrist. And in the midst of the week, He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, the work of the Antichrist. And for the overspreading of abominations, He shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. The Lord's going to judge the Antichrist. He's going to judge the false prophet. He's going to judge the beast. And there's nothing, no man, no creature, no angel, no one that can change what the Lord has determined that shall be done. In Zephaniah, in the book of Zephaniah, in chapter 3, verse number 8, "Therefore, the Scripture says, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations. that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. We know that Armageddon is going to take place, and the Lord is going to call the fowls of the air to come to His feast. And we understand that, if we understand the scripture right, that battle and that is going to be fought up there north of Jerusalem in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And then there's going to be that which is going to happen down in Idumea and Edom. And it seems like there's going to be two fronts at hand. I seem to get that from the scripture. And there's going to be Gog and Magog, and those that are going to come from the east against Jerusalem also. Those that will come from Europe, if you will, and from Asia Minor and that. And then those that will come from the Middle East and from the east and from the northeast and Russia and Gog and Magog. And the Lord is going to come from there, as it says in what in the book of Isaiah, He comes from Bozrah. He's got blood all over His garments. Who is this that comes with the stains upon Him from the wine fat? And He says, I've been from Idumea, from Edom, from Bozrah, which is down to the south, the southeast of Jerusalem. He's been down there treading the wide press of the wrath, of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God by Himself. It's been determined. And what's it say? It shall be done. It will be poured out and determined and poured out upon the desolate. And His determination is to gather the nations there in Zephaniah, that I may assemble the kingdoms and pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Then there's that happens after the millennial reign. And I've come of the opinion where Peter tells us that the elements are going to burn with a fervent heat and a loud noise, the destruction of this earth. I don't think it's just going to be a cleansing of the surface of the earth. I think the whole universe, myself, will be consumed. And what's it say there after the Lord looses Satan from the bottomless pit? And He's allowed to assemble and gather the nations again. Those that have benefited from the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Some of these people will be hundreds of years old. And many of these peoples will have been born in that millennia. Society will be built back up under the leadership and rule of the Lord. And there will be children, because what we read, and one of the things we're going to look at Psalm 8, Lord willing, is that the child is going to sit on the cockatrice den and going to be just fine. And mama and daddy aren't going to worry about them being over there. And a wolf is going to feed with the sheep and the lambs. And the lion and the bear is going to be okay. And a little child shall lead them. That hadn't happened yet. But in the kingdom of our Lord, it will. And they have received that blessing, and Satan is loosed. It's a testimony to the depravity of man. If there is not the working and moving of the Spirit, man is doomed. And this proves that. Satan will be loosed. He'll gather together the nations again. And rather than a battle and the Lord fighting with the sword of His mouth, they're consumed. And I wonder, I wonder that in that burning up of the adversaries, if it won't just be the burning up of all the world. Because it goes on to say in the next few verses, the one that sat on the throne, the earth and heaven, fled away. And so I wonder about that. The Lord is determined to gather the nations. It'll be their idea, but it'll be at the directive of the Lord. And there'll be no escape. From our country to the countries of this continent and the continent south and the countries that remain in that day of the world, they'll be gathered together against the Lord, and He will fight against them. And then we come to the New Testament, and we want to take a look here. And I know that's a lot of scriptures and quickly reading over them. We don't want to take a lot of time with it, but we want to touch on each of them to see what it says. And this is under the topic, under the heading of what God determines, okay? God determines things. In Luke chapter 22, let's see what Jesus says, and we'll slow down a little bit here in the New Testament. And we'll see, again, right along the line of what the Lord has predestined, what the Lord has ordained, right along the line. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 22, the scripture says here, and our Lord says in verse 21, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." It was determined that the Lord Jesus Christ would give himself, that the Father would give his Son to be a sacrifice. It was determined. There was nothing that can stop it. "My time is not yet ready," the Lord Jesus Christ said to his brethren, "but your time is always ready." He was on a plan. He was on a set track and a set time to accomplish our salvation. And then we come here to the book of Acts. In the Gospels, that's the only time that word "determine" or a form of that word is used. In Acts chapter 2, let's read over here. "And the brethren preaching," Brother Peter here preaching. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 23, we've run across this verse before in dealing with that word predestination, because this is the rendering of that. This is different, but it is speaking of the same thing. In Acts chapter 22, verse number 23, "Him," that is Jesus, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God," he's told them, he's told them what's happened with them speaking in tongues on this day of Pentecost, speaking in languages, not things that couldn't be understood, but were understood by men of 14 nations are there around the Mediterranean. He explains what happens, that it's a fulfilling of the prophecy given in Joel. And then he preaches this message here, and he says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands have crucified and slain." You've killed him. But the determinate counsel, what God determined to do, is that you would take him and he would be slain, that God would give him over. The Lord not working in them to do that, but the Lord yielding his Son, the Son yielding himself and backing off with his Spirit, and men did what they were predictable to do. They killed the King of Glory. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The Lord determined what would be done, that his Son would be offered. And he backed away, and men took him, and they killed him. The Lord yielded himself to that. We are guilty of killing the Lord Jesus Christ. We are guilty. We are guilty from the standpoint of being represented by man in that day, and we are guilty because of our own sins. And then we come to this verse here that we've already considered when we took a look at predestination, and the word predestination is rendered here in the English as this in Acts chapter 4, verse number 28. Here as they prayed, the apostles, the disciples prayed. Verse 27, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together." They all gathered together against him. "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." He would be offered. And God knew he would be slain. And then the Lord allowed him to be slain. And they took it up to slay him. It was predestinated that our Lord would be given for the sins and salvation of his people. It's the only way it was going to be. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an error. It wasn't a life that ran onto rocky ground and ran afoul. This was the work and plan of God. Then we've got two more verses. And in order to give them just time, we're going to save them for next time. They're in Acts chapter 17 and in Job chapter 14. I want to spend more time on those. And so we'll, Lord willing, we'll plan to, here I am right in December. We'll look at them next time, and we want to take a slower look about them than this word determined. So, Again, the reason for this study and consideration, and I know it's strung out and over several sessions, we understand we learn things by direct command from the scriptures, and we learn things in the scripture by example, and then we learn things by, if you will, the spirit of the scripture. We can know about things being right or evil in our day because by what the scripture tells us, even though those exact things aren't mentioned in the scripture, and we have to be careful about that and being instructed in the scripture that way. But we just want to take things and put them in the right place, and that's the reason for this study. Find out about predestination. We've taken a look at what that is. We're taking a look at the word ordained. We're taking a look at this word determined, and then we're going to take a look at the will. Okay, the will of God and the will of men and the will of God, and see what the scripture says about that.